back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into football season. September is upon us. The Crab Cake Tour is over. The golf tournament's packed up, and they've moved out of town, and even the Alanis Morissette concert went off. John Eisenberg has been my friend for a long, long time. I have become aware of a little gathering in a couple of weeks of like-minded folks who worked on Calvert Street or at South Street down at the News Post back in the day. And John was one of my mentors back in 1986 when I joined the Baltimore Sun staff. Feels like a minute ago. It was 35 years ago. He's a longtime visitor here, and it's been a little while, bro. How are you? I mean, people like you, I used to like elbow you, see you, hang out at Ravens, and we quip and talk. And like whatever, once in a while, get a beer on the road. How are you? It's been a while.
Yeah, I remember the road. I remember the road. Used to be good, but nope. Most writing being done from the basement these days. COVID protocols in place, so a lot of home time. But that's all good. No complaints at all. My family, everyone is healthy and working, and it's all good.
All right. So, before I do any Ravens or any of this other stuff, you got a book. I mean, what's going on? Because you've always got a book. And at some point, when I start talking to you and you get all wistful and locked down with your COVID and all that, you're going to write some memoirs of the stuff you've seen. Because like when you travel the world, you're like traveling. Oh, I missed that. Yeah, we all did. We all do. I'm trying to figure out this Vegas thing next weekend and the squeeze and the juice of like all of it, literally. Certainly Detroit and Denver and down the line with the Ravens. But man, the story of my life's been moving around. And this last month, I've been everywhere, only in the state of Maryland. I did cross the border in Delaware to do some kangaroo yoga. You'll have to Google that one, John. It was interesting. But I love traveling and I love stuff. But no memoirs for you? None of that yet or no?
Not yet. Nope. Too busy cranking it out.
What are you cranking out? What are you working on?
I'm working on a book on the history of black quarterbacks in the NFL. Still doing some football history, which I really like to do. This is a really interesting story, great storytelling. I still like to do it. So
I still like to read it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, this is my year to write it, and it'll be out in 2022. So just hard at work on that. That's what I'm doing.
Inchworm, man. You know, you got to get there when you're right. You know, so John Eisenberg is here. It's Ravens season. I mean, I remember you and I used to get together and talk about baseball. I usually leave the baseball to the end. And, you know, we leave that for like sort of Stairway to Heaven and the encore or the Freebird part. But anything you got on baseball you want to give me, and then I'm going to go golf and we'll dive into football. But the golf was like in front of all of us, and it's a part of what you've done in addition to horse racing and other things, but baseball is what sort of binds us. And when you have a couple of historic losing streaks, and I know you and I were privy to that first one back in 88, how glorious that one was. Were you there that night, Chicago? I have a feeling you might've been, right? No,
Actually, I think Mike Littman was there. I was there for a number of other ones and wrote a bunch of stuff. The one in 88 was a great story because It was how this season started. That was incredible. They literally had not won a game by near the end of April. So, honestly, one of the more amazing things I've ever seen. This was
fantastic fans night also, begat the new ballpark, which begat the mod. You know, you can, and I know you've written books on this, right? And I have as well, piecing all of that together. Yeah. I don't know what that has to do with this. This thing feels so like,
this was just grim. They were just, not a competitive team on many nights. And it was just really not watchable. Just not watchable baseball. So,
And I didn't watch it.
I watched a little bit, not much. I no longer have 700 words to put on the Orioles now and then in the paper. If I did, I think I would say I get this rebuilding and I understand as well. I have written about the organization for many years. Starting from scratch here was a lot harder than starting from scratch just about anywhere else because the minor league system was in such disarray and they didn't believe in international scouting and research and development and putting money into that. So they really were playing with one hand tied behind their backs. And so that's really what Michael Ice had to do was build that piece up And that's
would you
a
call
lot.
That willful ignorance? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's what it felt like to me. Like, Buck's like, I'm squeezing out of here in 5 years. And Duquette's like, I'm just glad to not be in a Cape Cod League anymore. You know, like, it felt that way. And they had success. And I don't know Buck, you know, when it's all over with, when my life is over and I look back on baseball, I'll see Buck as some sort of weird Yoda at that point world, because they, you know, what they achieved and how mismanaged it kind of all was, even in the end, giving away Machado. I mean, just all of it has led to this. And I don't even know how to process this when I know Nashville wants a team and there's a 2-year league. I don't even know how to position this to other people because I don't want to go. John Ohtani was here last week. I had baseball people. I had Rasig, me, Mike Bellani, my wife, Tom Perez, all of my friends. We were all talking about going, having a Fadley's crab cake in the middle of my tour. It was 97 degrees that day. They lost 17, 18, whatever that number was, because they won the next night. Nobody wanted to even walk over there. I live 2 blocks away. And when I don't know what to say at that point in my life, because I didn't want to go either. I felt relieved everybody bagged.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I do think, what's going on here a little bit is, I think I would say this, if I were writing, I would say good job on the rebuild. The minor leagues are now impressive. There's tons of players in there. You can see the outline for an interesting team coming. There's no question about that. I don't doubt that in a minute, but as far as the current product, maybe this year and next year, I mean, you have fans. There are fans of this team, and you got to be very careful with them. You're flying a little close to the sun on rolling out an unwatchable product for too long. You know, you have to treat your fans with respect. And
they've never been good at that.
Dude,
their chief revenue officer's giving a $98 speech out at Hayfields in a couple of weeks. The guy used to have my face on a dartboard over 1300 15 years ago. Like, who is their Dick Cass? Who's leading them? When's John going to come in without socks and boots on and like meet some people? When are they going to get the business on? I'm not talking about baseball, because I do this. Mueller and I conflate this because Mueller really thinks Mike Elias runs the company. It's insane, but I can't convince him of that because the fans have been convinced that Mike Elias like runs the business. There's a whole business here of the shit they're getting wrong and that they've gotten wrong for 30 years that I still. You could talk about the team being great. They won for 5 years and had no residue. They didn't sign a sponsor. They didn't sell a ticket. They didn't create a new fan, even when they had Machado and the pitchers and Buck, and they created gnomes of Buck Showalter. Like, that's the vacuum, and I think baseball suffered that. John, I thought Kansas City was real. I was out there for all of that. I thought that that would have a halo. I thought Pittsburgh winning again in places like that where they won again. Look at Tampa. It's never been birthed there. It's like an embryo, and all they've ever done is win. I mean, baseball's tough, and it's out of my pay grade at this point to try to figure out how to make Wick's kids like baseball. You know?
Yeah, it's a fair, there's definitely a macro situation here with baseball. And I'm really interested in watching sort of the stuff that's going on in the minor leagues and what they're doing with making teams put four defenders, infielders with their feet in the dirt. You know, they're getting rid of the shift. And
if you don't like that, they'll bring the Eddie Fainter circus in and put a guy on second base in a 10th inning for you.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's tricky. Yeah. That needs to go. And
how about these softball doubleheaders? They're cute too, aren't they?
Yeah, 7 innings. I mean, there's a lot that needs to change. And listen, I love it, but there's a lot that needs to change. And I certainly hope to see it happen. And you know, because I do enjoy watching it, and I am interested to see these young guys the Orioles have coming along. But you know, you can't just play 300 baseball over and over and over again. You got to start giving them something.
All right, football. They don't play 300 football over where you rule the castle over there.
I don't rule anything.
Yeah, well, you write about it at Ravens.com. So I was in Frederick on the Crab Cake Tour day 28, Saturday night. Didn't even realize the game was at 6:00. I mean, I'm out of the loop. Luke's covering it. I have just gotten to this preseason where I'm like, I'm done. I mean, I can watch a replay of it. I just don't care what's going on with the third or fourth teamer guys. And I remember I had friends that felt that way 20 years ago about like the Redskins and the Eagles. They're like, you watch a preseason? I'm like, dude, I flew to Atlanta and watched Michael Vick get torn in half by Adelis Thomas. I was there. Like, I think it's become real trashy. You know that. You have a bad product, man. There's nothing worse than this. But then it like ramps immediately to this. And we look back on the Dobbins thing and say, how do you get from there to here? My wife's mad. She's mad at everybody, you know, like, you know, and I think fans were coming to me at the golf and they're mad at everybody. And this is what happens when your running back rips his knee up. God forbid it was number eight.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I don't know. It is, as far as the preseason goes, well, they should just cancel it then. Just not have the games, period, total, ever, again, cancel the whole thing. Easier said than done, because they get hurt in practice. They get hurt in the training room. They get hurt in the regular. They get hurt all the time. You can't put them in bubble wrap. I mean, you just can't do it. It's a hard hitting sport. It's a violent sport, and you're in harm's way. And
even in August.
Yeah. So listen, Dominic Foxworth's career practically ended out in a walkthrough out on the backfield. He was wearing shorts and a t-shirt and he made a cut, and that was ACL went, everything went. And so, yeah, I don't really, I'm fine. I'm glad people are angry and all that, and I get it. But listen, you know, they get hurt in all manner, and a lot of it has nothing to do with contact. So as a matter of fact, that's the ones you don't want, are the non-contact injuries. Those are almost always bad. So, you know, it is what it is. He wasn't going to play long. It's really bad luck more than anything. If they want to cancel the whole NFL preseason, fine. Okay. Well, then let's do that. Until they do that, they're going to keep playing these games. There's marginal value. Lamar, having been on COVID, it probably didn't hurt for him to play a little game speed football, just so it's not literally the first time is on Monday night in Las Vegas. So he didn't get hurt. It's just unfortunate. It's bad luck and it's sad. And, you know, things don't always go your way.
John, let's pick up the pieces on the offense and what all this means and where the team is right now, right? Like I try to get together and do the temperature check-in like a turkey in the oven on Thanksgiving and say, all right, we could check in last winter. You lose to Buffalo. You get your feelings hurt. You think you might not have been good enough. You didn't have your tackle. You know, your quarterback wasn't good enough. Certainly the wide receivers weren't good. There were things. You start plugging all that in, and you're Eric, and you're drafting, and you're signing, and you're Watkinsing, and you're, you know, you're using draft on all sorts of, you're Zeitlering, and you're filling the waiver wing, and you're putting all this together in the thought that we're going to get them walking through in June, practicing a little bit in July, hitting a little bit in August, and being ready to fire in September, where everybody knows their part. We've had all the dress rehearsals we need before we open the play in Las Vegas. And it's never perfect. You know that. I mean, but it's never usually left tackle coming back $150 million. Right guy, it couldn't play in Pittsburgh. They're moving into a new position. Other guys on third organization. Guys have had some injury issues. The wide receivers have been a mess. Quarterback refuses to get a shot. Then the running back rips his knee up, right? So this isn't the way Greg Roman drew it up back in February and March when he and DaCosta were, let's put this together and let's make this happen. This is far from ideal offensively for Monday night.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's been a bad summer. I think we can label it a bad summer. The Dobbins injury took care of that. I mean, there have been so many injuries. You're right about Lamar and the lack of a shot. You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts there that are not positive. But, you know, I mean, they do have a lot of depth. They got a lot of guys. I mean, they got some good guys in place. I mean, the line has not been together. There's some pretty good linemen on there. I think they can put out a passable offensive line on that Monday night. Wouldn't shock me at all to see them play well on that Monday night. They have
I kind of agree with you. I looked at the schedule. I looked at Denver and Detroit, and I'm like, you know, I don't know what the Chiefs – you know, have always beaten them. So if that happens, it happens, but you could still be 3-1 and not be very good and win on the road. I mean, nobody knows who they are, what they are. I mean, no. The Ravens thought they were really good. Now we're questioning. There's plenty of teams that weren't any good to begin with and weren't hell. And, you know, and then they're going to deal with injuries. So at least around here, there's some level of confidence and the defense has helped that, but I'm with you for the offense. Like this feels like a total box of chocolates as to how this is going to go. And I think Lamar does enough zigging and zagging and running around and confounding that they can probably go out to Vegas and find their way next week.
Oh, I think so. The one of the best pieces of analysis I heard of anything heading into this season. RG3, you know, new to the microphone gang, and they said to him, you know, that went through this whole thing. I'm sure you followed it, where they said, you know, has the league figured Lamar out? They always, you know, this is a, like an annual rite of passage now. And RG3, you know, was in the meeting room with him for all, you know, for years, says the league hadn't figured it out because he doesn't know what he's going to do next. I mean, he doesn't know himself. So how in the world can you figure that out? And that is true. I mean, he's a unicorn. And if he's out there, he's healthy and he's running around, you're going to be pretty good. I did, period. I honestly think that. And so I think they're going to be dangerous. I think the running game will be okay. Gus Edwards, a great. I love Gus. Gus Edwards, one of my favorite underrated Ravens. Give him the ball. Just let him run into people. I have liked that for a while. And so I think that'll be fine. We'll see about the passing game and we'll see about the offensive line. You know, that is, they got some decent pieces there now. Does it all come together? Remains to be seen.
John Eisenberg is our guest, Ravens.com. You can find him out on Twitter, anywhere intelligent conversations happening. We appreciate him joining us for our Wise Conversations around here. I'm drinking out of my Wise mug, and our friends at Royal Farms Chicken Palooza'd me last month, and we're back into Western Fries. I'm trying. John, I gained a lot of weight on his crab cake tour, but I got to see all those horse farms that you've traveled out to, all the back roads. I went fly fishing with Dan Rodericks the other day. So it's you know, it's been a great month, but I'm ready to get back to football and talking about all this. And I guess being out on the road, Lamar tested positive when I was away with my wife on a real vacation before I got to work on all the stuff we did last month. And then the fallout of the fans and vaccinations and me turning corners in Hurlock, Maryland and seeing Confederate flags flying on the Eastern Shore and, you know, the various where we are with vax and anti-vax and all of that. The Lamar thing is really a thing I'm struggling with, and I'm sure Eric DaCosta, and how much money and where the science fits into all this and where your belief systems fit into this. But certainly for him, he's made a very tough way for himself in this way. And I guess the follow-up to that would be, you've seen all of this, right, for Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and John Ogden and, I mean, going back to Cal Ripken and how stars are made here, right? And he's at this point where leadership, and I guess Charles Barkley would say we're not role models, right? But this is part of what he's angling for in all of this money. It'll be unprecedented money, right? He's going to get the most money in the history of Baltimore athletes ever. No Flacco, no Michael Phelps, no nobody, right? Like, that's where we are in the cosmos. And then you say, dude, you're going to run around without a mask, get COVID a couple times, not have a shot, refuse to get a shot, have this incredible, and I don't even know because I'm not out there because, you know, I guess I could ask the question as to all the protocol issues, but I have a feeling it's a real pain in the ass for him and everybody else around him that this is the circumstance they're in. And it's probably not appreciated in a workplace, quite frankly, from a guy they all want to admire and love and play with and all that stuff, but then scratch their head and say, we played on a Wednesday last year without you, bro, in Pittsburgh. Come on.
Yeah. I would say, you know, and again, I'm being, you know, I'm not around too much either. They're being very careful with who's allowed near anything. And the protocols are ramping up as the season gets closer, by the way, league protocols. So, everyone's being very cautious about who is, able to get close to who, but I would say this, Lamar is popular in the building. The players like him, teammates like him, the front office like him. They think he's a good kid with the right instincts, and he is a kid. They're hoping that he sees the light. I really do. And so it's far from over. And they're just hoping for the best there because he is a great player, and that's the most important thing in their world. And so, you know, as far as what they're saying behind closed doors, I don't know. But, you know, I know that they're just, it's a little early yet to be thinking, you know, that how's this going to impact the money he gets and all that. I mean, they can sit on that for a while. He's got two more years here.
Well, he's got to go play, too.
He's got to go play.
Win playoff games.
He's
right?
Let it play out. I think they're just
and he's
let it
put
play
himself
out.
In a position here, even without the money, where first week of the playoffs, we shouldn't be playing the first week of the playoffs. We should have a bye, and then we should win the home game and host the championship game and win that. And anything that's a little short of that, if we had to go play the championship game in Kansas City or Buffalo and we happen to lose it, you stink, number eight. I mean, that's where he is in not necessarily even here, just that's what he's built, and the MVP thing is built, and this vaccination thing, and like now more pressure. You would admit Dobbins not being here and all of these. He's expected to be a great quarterback and throw the football to whom at this point? You know, that's because that's how he's going to be judged.
Right, right. So it's a long haul. You know, the Ravens, I think one of the best things they have going for them is they, in vast majority of cases, do not panic. And they say, all right, we're just going to take a deep breath here. Deep breath. We're going to let this thing play out. Let's see what happens. And I think that's what's going to happen here. I never thought they were going to sign him this year. I never thought it was going to happen because the salary cap's going way up next year. And this year it's down. First time since they put it in, it's down. And you're going to tell me you're going to kickstart that whole thing with the big money and all that in a year when the salary cap, I can't remember the exact number, but it was double digit percentage down due to the lack of revenues. So I just thought, well, why? And next year, sky high. And so we'll see whether that happens, by the way, as the thing continues to creep in, the COVID situation. But I anticipate there's going to be fans in the stands and the TV contracts, so the revenues will go up. And so I think that always made more sense for the time to sign him. And, you know, it's like, okay, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Let's talk to me in 6 months and let's talk. Let's see what's going on.
John Eisenberg is here from BaltimoreRavens.com. He's putting together books, as he always does, and you can always find his books online and read up on Iron Man or horses or the legend of the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers and quarterbacks and the AFL and old football stuff as well. So make sure you find him. All right, last thing for you, just I guess on hopes and dreams and aspirations for the Ravens as this thing gets going. It is weird. You know, I have a flight out to Vegas. I'm trying to figure out the relative value of like whether from the reportorial side of me, oh, there is no locker room. There are no players to talk to. They're going to talk to three of them. They're going to put them on a podium. Like I'm trying to figure out the journalism side of this as we go along. But the football side of me thinks this will be a successful year for the Ravens for all the reasons we talked about last year with COVID protocols and all the things that they're good at, that they're buttoned up about as an organization and well-led. And I think the defense, to lead to the other side of the football conversation, the way the defense looked in August, which is sort of old school as we build statues for guys around here on defense, the defense may carry the day more so than Lamar.
Yeah, I think so. The defense, and I think people need to understand on the defense, it's like, I think they have a chance to be a really good defense. What I really like about it is just a million pieces. They got some young guys. You can see the next generation coming up. The, you know, guys that aren't even big names yet, Justin Matabike, Brandon Stevens, guys that are pretty darn good, young players with a lot of talent potential. Their defense has changed from Ray Lewis in 2000. You're not going to have that macho man shut down, kill him. It's just not going to happen. These offenses are into matchups. They're into speed. They've got five wide. Good luck to you. You better be covering them. So
and they got a quarterback that runs 4-1 here.
Yeah. They're going to move the ball. And they're going to score points. It's a question is, do you stop them when it counts? Can you discourage them? Can you keep the scoreboard from lighting up too much? Certainly the rules of the game have changed over the years in favor of the offense. So it's defensive football is tough these days. Ravens, I think, are set up to do it pretty well. They're much faster than they were 5 years ago. You know, a guy like Patrick Queen, I think, is set up to be pretty good. And they just have a lot of pieces. They just got a bunch of guys that can play football. They're hard-nosed. Was it the Carolina preseason game where right off the bat there's an interception and the Panthers move right down to the 1 yard line and the starting defense was out there first minutes of the game. They're out the one, three shots, I think it was, didn't get in. And I just felt like that was a little moment there where the Ravens were like, okay, this is what we're doing. This is how this unit can play. And we'll leave the field now. Thank you very much.
Right. Yeah. And what time's the plane leave for Vegas? And, you know, how do we get on it?
So we just let you see, you know, and they even said it to the Panthers were done in that after that. It's like, this is who we are. And that will carry a bit of weight in the NFL in the fall of 2021. And I think it'll help the Ravens have a winning season.
I think Mike Nolan and Rob Woodson like that one on the preseason broadcast as well. You know, John, you mentioned the defense, and analytics would say taking the football away is the way to win, right? Like to your point, knocking guys' heads off and playing take the ball away. And that has extra value, which is where they are with Marlon Humphrey, right? And letting a team go down the field halfway and then taking the ball away, that's a dagger as well. You know, 2-3 turnovers a week. That's how you go 14-2.
Yeah, I mean, the pass rush was the question. They lost some guys that are pretty good, Judon and those guys. I was never that worried about it because the secondary is really strong. You got Marlon on one side, Marcus Peters on the other. Just a lot of talent back there. And the front is strong. If they're healthy, they are in their 30s. That's a question. If they're healthy, they stopped Tennessee in the playoffs last year. It's that group. There's just a lot of talent on that side of the ball. Good players, hard-nosed players. And I think Wink, really good coordinator. I think Wink is a really good coordinator. He knows how to he knows what he wants to do, and the players like him. And it's a good situation for the Ravens, really, on that side of the ball. So I think they'll roll that out every week, and it'll help them.
I think they'll be a good football team this year, too. I mean, I have a lot of confidence, but I can't sit here and say – I have confidence they're going to throw the ball well, you know, and now we're like, how much is Lamar really going to run? How much are they really going to run Gus? How do they find another part of that attack beyond Andrews? And you know, I guess that's why it all plays out. John Eisenberg will be chronicling it all season long at Ravens.com. You can find him out there. Of course, find him out on social media. And 100 hours a week writing this book, John?
Busy time of year, so I need 100 hours a week. I'm not finding it.
Anything on the golf you want to say? It was a hell of a thing. I went out. They even got me out on a golf course, John Maroon, on Sunday, walking around. That was neat. I mean, of all the things I feel like I've been a part of in Baltimore, I'm so glad I came back. I've had a serendipity tour here. I came back a day earlier than I thought after Dobbins ripped his knee up. I woke up Sunday. I went out there, and I'm really happy I did. I really would have felt like I had missed something had I not been there.
Yeah, I just watched it on TV like a lot of people and certainly have done a million golf tournaments and just haven't had that much of it here. I mean, I remember the Women's Open here at Five
Annika Sorenstam.
Yeah, like 1988. And of course, once they put Caves Valley in, that's a fantastic course. And it's inevitable that they get some really good events there. And so I think they shot the lights out. I'll tell you that 27 under, I've never seen anything like that. So I don't know what was going on with that because the people, they can orchestrate that. They can decide how easy or hard they want to make it. They certainly shot the lights out of that, but it's just a great event. Baltimore crowds were great. And there's nothing but positive about it. So I hope they come back. It's hard to believe that they hadn't had a tour event here in, I don't know, 50 years or something. So it needs to be more frequently. They need to be here more frequently than that.
Yeah, I told my wife, I said, this has never happened. Like, we had the women, and I remembered it, and we were at the Sun, and I actually was with a couple of folks out on the golf course, and you and I were colleagues then at the Sun, and Reg Murphy was the publisher, and he loved golf, and like, we were going to shove some golf at you, you know, and it happened. I think the Sun was a part of that. I mean, certainly a big part of the business corporate environment that puts these things on, that Baltimore has, I don't want to say time has passed us by, but we got a football team instead, right? We're trying to fix the horse race. I mean, we have all sorts of, we tried to put on a car race down here three times, right? A couple of years ago. So there have been all of these other things. The golf piece of it I'll go Jerry Maguire, it felt like it completed me a little bit. And I'm not a golf guy.
Yeah. It was very cool to see. And the cherry on top was, what an event. I mean, that was just phenomenal.
Do they let you play more playoffs than that? How many are you allowed to play? Is it like the old tennis where they just call Mats Wilander and say enough?
Tiebreaker.
15-13.
Tiebreaker. You have a tiebreaker in tennis, not in golf. So
I thought they were going to go down to Old Pro in Ocean City and just settle it right there on the putt-putt course.
yeah. It would be like soccer, and let's just have a putting contest or something, you know, their version of penalty kicks. But that was really fun. I enjoyed it a lot.
Well, I enjoy having you on. I enjoy our friendship. I miss seeing you. I haven't been in a room with you in a year and a half. It's been that way for a lot of folks, but I hope we get an elbow bump sometime soon. maybe down at the Guinness factory with some old colleagues.
I will be there.
I will be there as well. And it's a huge pre-gaming night for the Hall & Oates concert. I've informed Stan and Molly about that. So I treasure the old relationship. So it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. John, I'll see you in a couple weeks, and I'll see you around some football. And hopefully I'll track you down, and the Ravens will be 5-1 or something like that.
Sounds good.
And hopefully the one isn't the Chiefs, but I don't, you know.
We'll see.
John Eisenberg, he's out of Ravens.com. He's writing books and doing great things. Always out in the community. If you see a guy out on York Road, you say, hey, looks like Eisenberg. Honk the horn right around Stoney, because that probably
running like a fool.
That's it. I am Nestor. You can find me out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat. Not eating crab cakes, although I am putting the crab cakes out for everyone here to eat this month. We're also putting together the crab cake tour that's going to stop at Costas later this month with Johnny O, as well as at Coco's with Mayor Brandon Scott. We had Governor Larry Hogan on from the Boatyard down. I keep calling it Boathouse, Boatyard. It was good enough for Jimmy Buffett. It's good enough for me. Go see that video, Don and Larry Hogan arguing about the red line. It was good stuff. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.